for the Ian Furness Show.
You want me to turn it up?
Send your text to 49451 on Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All right, welcome in. Carter Volkswagen Studio, Carter Volkswagen, CarterVW.com. Kevin, where are you?
I'm in the Redbox Producers booth, and Redbox has the newest movies fresh from the theater for under $2 a night. Head to the box or stream on demand.
All right, let's get to the headlines.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Headlines brought to you by VenueKings, VenueKings.com. We'll start with the breaking news. The NFL has moved the Bucs and the Raiders out of Sunday Night Football. They have moved the Seahawks and the Cardinals into Sunday Night Football. Yay.
Out of an abundance of caution, Ian.
The Vikings reportedly are going to send Yannick Ngakoue to the Ravens for draft picks. Every Seahawks fan's mad. John Schneider is doing a horrible job and not doing what he should be doing to make this team better defensively. Meanwhile, Antonio Brown. More on that in a second. We'll hear from both Mike Florio and Mike Garofolo. The Mikes. With interesting thoughts for the last 24 hours.
Mike and Mike?
Mike and Mike.
We should do a show.
This will be Mike and Mike that will be compelling and not boring and vanilla. So, much better. Coming up in just a couple of seconds. Baseball, it's an off day for the World Series. Games series is tied 1-1. Blake Snell didn't get the win, thankfully, even though he risked his life.
I'm risking my life.
What an idiot he is. I honestly just find him the most unlikable human being on the planet.
Is it anything other than just that one... moment.
I watched his post game yesterday. He's just an unlikable human being. I don't know what his deal is. It's like, dude, nobody cares about you getting the win and getting taken out early.
Ian, I feel like you should really be directing your anger right now more towards the folks in Las Vegas than Blake Snell.
Can I give you one other note here in baseball? J.P. Crawford and Evan White, two young Mariners, shortstop and first baseman respectively, have been named finalists for the 2020 Gold Glove Awards at their respective positions. We heard that Evan White was really good defensively. One of the top three defensive first basemen. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to see me lose my collective blank if Crawford and White don't win it and the winners are not named Nico Goodrum from Detroit at shortstop. Is that how you pronounce his name? I don't even know. Never heard of him. Or Matt Olson from Oakland at first base. I'm going to lose my mind because the other two finalists are Correa and Gurriel.
In their defense?
Cheaters, 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 cheaters.
They're not cheating on defense?
How do you know that? Do you not know that maybe they're cheating? I don't know.
I'm not quite sure how one would cheat on defense, but...
Whoever thought banging a garbage can would be a thing either.
Well, but like that's... Knowing the pitch that's coming an easy way to
cheat. I hate
cheat.
Them with every fiber of my being. I'm so glad. That's the only reason that there's a little glimmer of hope that Tampa... Wait, we mentioned this yesterday. I was hanging out with a group of people yesterday. Like, the World Series, it didn't even... I'm very late to this party, and we'll get to the football in a second. Like, Tampa and L.A., Stanley Cup Finals, or Stanley Cup Champion, and NBA Champion.
Yeah.
Now one will be a World Series Champion as well.
Yeah.
Tough world they live in there. My gosh.
Tampa.
Tampa. I know Tampa.
Right?
Their hockey team is so well run, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I mean.
If only we could get someone that put that organization together to be here.
We do.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, Todd's there.
How about that?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's Stevie Y put that thing. I mean, it's his fingerprints. No, he's in Detroit now. But that's his team.
Hmm.
Like, there's a lot of the stuff. Should he get a ring this year? Well, he's not there, but that's his team. So, and then, you know, I mean, it's really remarkable, though. Those two markets are in both champions and both have a chance to win.
So, and
another one.
And Tampa also hosting the Super Bowl this year. Also... You got a pretty good quarterback and a pretty good football team there.
Yeah.
Who might not play this week.
Well, it's because the Raiders have like an offensive line that's in quarantine, right? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
So out of an abundance of caution, the NFL has moved Sunday Night Football and flipped games around. Adam Amin's still going to join us. We'll talk to Adam at 1:20. Kevin and I were talking. Like, should we still? Yeah, we'll still have him on.
I sent him a text. I said, hey, I know this isn't what we were planning on, but I'd love to still have you. Yeah, okay, great.
I think we'll talk about the – because he did game prep, so that's good.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk about the game, the Cardinals and the Seahawks that he's not calling. But but then we'll also just talk about just where they're at. This is just a gong show of a world we're living in right now with the NFL. I just, as I mentioned to Slick and Puck, there's no doubt what the cash cow in the NFL is. I mean, hey, sorry ESPN with your Monday Night Football package. Sorry Fox with your Sunday and Thursday. Well, I'll tell you right now, Fox is going to be sideways. Like, this is going to be an interesting – I bet there were a lot of blankety blank phone calls going back and forth today.
I want here's
Fox
my
Fox lost out huge.
Here's my
here,
thought.
By the way,
I wonder if when is the next World Series off day? Because I wonder.
It wouldn't be Saturday. They play three in a row, right?
Right. So they're off today.
And they play Friday,
would they
Saturday,
play
Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday off Monday?
Game six, seven on Tuesday.
Wednesday. So my thought is, I wonder if Fox said, okay, but if that moves, it moves to Monday, they play it early, it's on Fox.
If what moves?
If Tampa and Las Vegas.
Oh, I see.
That's. Well, I mean, who knows?
I'll tell you where Fox got just hooped, though. They bought a television station in Seattle to have the NFC.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks that draw 45 ratings.
Yep.
That cost them a lot of money.
Yep.
They're not happy. But that's 2020 in a nutshell. And when those guys, it's going to be just really interesting with the negotiations coming up. We'll get to that later. All right, let's get to this. The whole Antonio Brown thing. So Softy had Mike Florio on yesterday, and I heard this. I thought it was really good because I kind of kicked myself for not pushing back harder yesterday, Kev,
okay,
on this. And then hearing Garofalo the same way, same thing. I made a mistake yesterday, and I'm dead serious. I think it's one of those non-stories that we all just jumped on in the world of sports radio. I love the fact that both Florio and Garofalo questioned the validity of the so-called story that Schefter had out there. It also speaks volumes to where we are in this world that we live in right now of 240 characters and what's a story and what's not. Here's my Softy. You'll hear Softy's question. Just in case you have been living in a hole somewhere, like if you don't know what's going on, Adam Schefter yesterday said that the Seahawks are, what was the exact
they
term?
They are positioning themselves to
sign.
Damn it, what did they say? No, not even to sign. They're positioning themselves to make a move to sign him, I believe,
yeah,
is what the word was.
To sign Antonio Brown. Yeah. So Mike Florio was Softy yesterday from Pro Football Talk. Take a listen.
Mike, let me ask you about Adam Schefter's report. It says the Seahawks are positioning themselves to make a push to sign Antonio Brown, as are other teams. What do you make of that?
What does that mean, positioning themselves to make a push? You know what happens in this business, and this is the beer talking. Reporters want to get ahead of these stories, so they fashion something out of whatever they have. Look, last year the Seahawks were interested in Antonio Brown. At the time, they were interested in Josh Gordon. They signed Josh Gordon because he didn't have that cloud hanging over him that Antonio Brown did. Then it turns out Gordon gets suspended again. Gordon's back on the team. He can't play yet because his suspension hasn't ended. So, yeah, they would be an obvious team to be interested in Antonio Brown. You're not going to make your defense magically better, so you may as well make your offense as good as it can be. And I think the Seahawks, one of the few teams where Brown will defer to the coaching staff, he'll defer to the quarterback. You need to have a situation where Brown is not going to be a problem, and I don't think he'd be a problem for the Seahawks.
There you go. So that's Mike Florio. Here is Mike Garofalo on with Puck and Slick. Basically, he's talking about the latest on Antonio Brown, the Schefter Report.
Nothing has changed. And that the Seahawks have been in exploratory mode with Antonio Brown for quite some time. And just to like, you know, listen, an agent's got a job to do, right? And the agent's job is, in a case like this, out of sight, out of mind, let's bring him back in sight, bring him back in mind, right? And so, hey, Seahawks, but they got company and a bunch of teams are beating this guy's door down and everybody can't wait to sign Antonio Brown. Blah, blah, blah. Pump the brakes. Relax, okay? And there have been no contract negotiations. There has been no real meeting to the point where everybody has hit the green light and said, okay, we're doing this. We're full steam ahead. Let's go get this guy. There have just been kind of feelers put out and people monitoring it, and that's kind of where it is right now. So could he be a Seahawk at some point? Possible. But right now, everything's kind of in a holding pattern.
And here's where I kicked myself yesterday. That was Mike Garofalo from NFL Network on with Slick and Puck earlier, and Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk on with Softy and Fain yesterday. It really is great sports talk fodder, and it's great for polls, and we have fun with it. I think what Mike Garofalo especially said there is really true. Like, and Mike earlier in the interview with those guys pointed out, he goes, it's the exact same story that I had back in August with those guys. He talked about it with Slick and Puck back in August.
I just edited it out, but yeah.
Yeah,
it was right before that.
I mean, we couldn't go for 40 minutes, 40 seconds with him.
Because Pelissero sent him a text of, hey, you had a great report yesterday,
right.
But it was in August.
And you know, I kicked myself because yesterday, this is your typical agent calling a reporter and floating out and getting his guy out there. But what Florio said was so true. How it was worded is really ridiculous. I mean, it really is. Of course, a lot of teams are in a position to sign a lot of different players, but it got us all in an uproar. So how much juice is there to this story is where I'm getting to, Kev. How much true juice is there to this story? I don't know. I think, is it much ado about nothing? No, I think it's out there. I mean, I think there's certainly a possibility. I think while they wait for Josh Gordon to come back, because I don't think they're entirely comfortable with their third receiver situation, David Moore has played better this year than he did at the end of last season. There's no doubt about that. Dorsett's close to coming back, but let's be honest, Philip Dorsett is not, he's not Antonio Brown, he's not Josh Gordon.
I'm going to need to see him on the field doing anything before I'm going to say, like, hey, when Philip Dorsett
He took one snap in the first mock game. He took one snap, tried to go deep, foot was banged up, couldn't get there, couldn't make the catch. I mean, he's not a guy that you can tell, like you said, until he proves otherwise, he is just a guy. The old Jag, just a guy. Yeah. Julius Jones, just a guy. And so, you know, where are they with this? It made great fodder yesterday. It's probably why Pete didn't shoot holes in it. He did his normal, you know, we're in on everybody and we're competing for everybody and everything all the time. The Josh Gordon thing, I think, is more interesting to me. And they were pushed on it. Joe Fan and especially yesterday kind of pushed back a little bit, and Pete got a little angry, but I'm glad he did, because like, what the hell? Like, what is? And Florio talked about it with Softy yesterday. When's the NFL make a decision? Like, you're letting people hang out in the wind. You're affecting people's lives. Yes or no? Especially because what Josh Gordon's transgressions are no longer illegal in the NFL. Yeah. So all of this comes back to Antonio Brown. How likely is it that he's going to be a Seahawk? You know how likely it is, Kev? And this, I think it's likely if something catastrophic happens to Chris Carson, Tyler Lockett, or DK Metcalf. I think then it becomes a lot more likely than it is right now today. And why did I bring up Chris Carson? Because you can't trust Carlos Hyde. You certainly can't depend on Travis Homer. And you don't know what you got in DJ Dallas. Chris Carson is your bell cow. Come hell or like if things go south at some point in the game, if you know the weather's bad or Russell's off or something like that, you know you've got a guy that can carry the ball 20 times, is going to be a battering ram. You've got a back-to-back 1,000-yard rusher who's also, by the way, your best-rated receiver right now in terms of catch rate, and you could go there. So I think if something happened to one of those three guys, I think then Brown. We'll wrap up the Brown talk with both your poll and my poll.
It's poll talk.
Poll talk. We'll do that.
No? Too far? Weird?
Not too far, but yeah.
Uncomfortable for Ness?
Just got there.
Annoyed for Ness is now uncomfortable for Ness.
We'll do that coming up at 1:45 today. We'll check in with Adam Amin, who was going to call the Seahawk game. Now he's not.
Schick Shadle Hospital.
Now back to Ian Furness on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's original diehard sports station. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All right, I was looking forward to this. This was going to be fun because I know, Kevin, you had been reaching out to this next gentleman for a while, hoping to get him on and find him, especially doing a Seahawk game. He's made the move from ESPN to Fox. And Adam Amin joins us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, who was scheduled to call the Seahawks and the Cardinals 1:05 Pacific Time kickoff on Q13 Fox locally this Sunday. That's not going to happen. Unless you get hired by NBC, right, Adam? unless something changes with your contract, you're no longer going to call the Seahawks game this Sunday.
I mean, I'm sure there are some fans out there who have asked a couple of questions when you gave that very nice introduction. Thank you, by the way, for that, Ian. I appreciate that. I bet you some of your listeners are thinking either who is their first question when you said my name. That's fine. Perfectly acceptable and encouraged answer, first and foremost. Or B, they were thinking, oh, we get Al Michaels now? That's better. So I'm perfectly understanding if that was your reaction to this. totally understand. So it's all good.
Well, I don't think that, and selfishly because I work for the Fox affiliate here in Seattle. So that's a part of my...
Well, real quick. It's funny that you mentioned that. So I was just on with Aaron.
Yeah.
Is it Levine or Levine?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
My apologies.
Yeah.
Aaron Levine. And I was, we were starting to record a preview of Seattle, Arizona, and my PR person who's assigned to our crew at Fox, this wonderful woman named Jennifer, just jumps in and goes, I hate to stop you guys. We're getting word that
oh,
true. Fox does not have the game anymore because NBC, has decided to overtake it. So, it's, again, all good. It's part of this weird 2020 twist and turn movie that we all want to get out of as soon as possible.
Adam, it's so true. I was telling my producer, Kevin, a minute ago. I mean, he came in and tells me this, and I'm like, what are you talking about? I was literally writing scripts for pregame shows we're doing. We're doing pre and post around the game on our station on Sunday. And, you know, nobody cares about our problems, but I think it does speak to the larger issue here, and that is, you know, this is the year when you do a lot of work for nothing because stuff just changes by the snap of the finger. Now, if you're a Seahawk fan, you're like, oh, that's awesome. We get primetime football on Sunday night. If you're working on the game in any capacity and then having to pivot, you're like, well, this is kind of a nightmare. If you are selling advertising for the local Fox affiliate, you're like, well, this is the worst possible thing that could happen. And so all those things, it's just 2020 in a nutshell. So where are you at? You and your crew, are you still doing a game this weekend? I'm sure you did all the prep work for this game, and now you're pivoting as well.
Yeah, same for us. And like I said, no, I'll give you the insight because you asked the question. I think some fans would find it interesting. Most people in general, they don't care. They don't want to know. They don't need to know. It ain't their job to know, and that is perfectly acceptable. So I understand that. And if you don't care about this, that's fine. But for us, just on a personal level, like we spend a lot of time, man, 10 to 15 to 20, 25 hours sometimes, depending on, you know, what position you're in, to get ready for these games, you know. And Mark Schlereth works exceptionally hard doing film study, and he really works hard at that. Lindsay is talking to players and coaches away from our regular meetings so that she's got insight on this stuff. I'm crunching stories and stats all week long to, you know, be prepared for teams that, you know, I understand we're national broad. We're not Steve Rabel, you know, we're parachuting in to do these games. And we want to be as informed and up-to-date and understanding of the entire picture as possible. And that takes a lot of work. So when you put in that effort and you're excited too, that's the other thing. I was pumped for this game. I mean, Kyler and Russ, you know, 9-2 combined records so far this year, top two teams in the NFC West. This is a game you want to do. This is one of our bigger games of the year that we had gotten assigned in the first half of the year. So we lose out on that. We get shifted over to Bucks and Raiders. We've had Bucks a couple of times early in the year, week two and week three. So at least I have a familiarity with what they're doing, and I'm well aware of how they're playing because they've had some national games. And I've never done a Raider game in my life, or if I have, it was a while ago. It was on radio 4 or 5 years ago, and I can't even remember it at this point. So we're pivoting and starting that entire process over in a much smaller and condensed amount of time. So, again, there's plenty of broadcasters that do that. I've done that plenty in my career. It's not a complaint. It's just an observation. It's not an indictment of the system. It's an observation about what life is like for us in general, and especially here in 2020.
It's nuts. I mean, and it's I think everyone in some way, shape, or form can relate to, you know, work or a project or something that has just had a complete monkey wrench thrown into it, and you're basically starting from scratch, or you lost your it's just your computer crashed. That's kind of where you're at. So, but you have done some legwork. So let's get to it. The game that you're not calling, Seahawks and Cardinals, with all the prep work, what jumps out at you with it?
Obviously, you know, what's been sticking out to us since we got a chance to see Seattle in week one is, you know, the let Russ cook thing. I know it's a fun, you know, mantra and t-shirt to sell, but frankly, it's been fun to watch. I've enjoyed watching an opened up Seattle offense in the passing game. I know the sack numbers have been awful, right, for many years. I think I saw a stat today that, like, in 148 games that Russell Wilson has played, he's only gone 6 times or 7 times maybe without taking a sack, but the numbers are a little better. The offensive line is held up, and you got to give them credit for that. You know, this is an improving line in my estimation. Arizona looked really good Monday night, and I think for a lot of people outside of the West Coast, that was probably their first time this year seeing what this iteration of Arizona looks like with a second year of Murray and Kingsbury, the addition of Hopkins, Kenyon Drake starting to come into his own, the defense with a lot of young talent especially like in the middle in their linebacking core. Buda Baker, that was probably the first time that a lot of people outside the West Coast had really taken notice of him this year. So I feel like the names that have been added to Arizona and the concepts that have been added to the philosophy of Seattle's offense, that's really stuck out to me watching them in person and watching some tape.
Yeah, you're right, by the way. Just only six times in Russell Wilson's career has he had a game where he didn't get sacked. I mean, it's remarkable. Now, running quarterbacks sometimes run into those, but when he's played, 133 games and only six times has escaped unscathed, that's a guy that's surviving.
Yeah.
Your thought on, everyone here likes to talk about the MVP, and you know he's playing great, and I think that we've seen how that works as the years go on. We'll have to wait down the road, but and I hope we get you on later in the year. I want to talk just in the last minute or two with you before I let you go on the development of and what we've seen this year from DK Metcalf. We feel like we have a special one here in Seattle with him.
I saw him in college, man, and we knew he was special then. And just he was a freak of nature just physically, right? Like, he's just so strong, big, and for that size to be as fast as he is almost unfair. So we knew that the physical tools have always been there. But to see the development of his feet, I think his route running has gotten better. His quickness off the line, he's already got the strength to beat guys in a jam situation. So you're not going to see guys try to press up on him. You have to play him in coverage, but you can't necessarily play too far off of him because he's such a good route runner. He's becoming a better route runner, not only in the deep ball, but the intermediate stuff, which Wilson has always had a good ability to find. The deep ball has been the thing that's improved steadily year to year to year to year. But the intermediate game, I think that's set Russell apart for a long time. That's always been there. So I feel like his varied skill set to add that element to his game, that's been a huge jump for DK. And that's part of the reason why I think Brian Schottenheimer felt comfortable opening up the passing game, because you see the development of him. You still got Mr. Reliable and Tyler Lockett. The addition of Olsen certainly helps. The balance that's there, all of this is complementing each other very well right now.
A couple quick more things for Adam Amin from Fox. When you were at ESPN, you're doing those college games. You mentioned watching DK and doing some of his games. You sound like you are not surprised in terms of what he's been able to do in the NFL. There were those that criticized him. Hey, he could run a go route and that's it. Obviously, that's not the case. We've seen that here. So when you were doing those games, you saw what the scouts and what Seattle scouts saw in DK Metcalf.
The thing is, it's the offenses that you now see in college football that you're going to see. If you don't watch much college football, and especially outside the Pac-12, I feel like you're starting to get some of these concepts that we see in the Big 12 that's kind of spread to the SEC in the last 7 or 8 years, stuff that we've seen in the ACC for some time, and obviously the stuff that we saw with Chip Kelly in Oregon, 12, 13 years ago. All those things have now matriculated into the NFL game, because you get quarterbacks that in recent years have been in those systems, and they're expected to play as first rounders fairly quickly. So that's why these spread offenses and these concepts are being added so much. DK was part of all those conceptual things at Ole Miss. He was part of some wide open offenses. You know, when you have Jordan Ta'amu passing or Shea Patterson or, you know, a handful of these guys that are playing in these spread offenses, that's your skill set. That's going to be part of your skill set to be in different elements of the game. And then on top of that, the traditional wide receiver stuff where you have to run the go ball, you have to be able to win one-on-one, and when you're physically gifted like DK is, you're going to be put in those situations. So that's how I think that's kind of the chronology and timeline as to how this is formulated to get DK to this point.
Adam, one final thing for you. If you look at the NFC and you get Tampa this week, which will be interesting to watch them against the Raiders in Las Vegas, you've seen them a couple times already. You've watched and filmed and studied Seattle for the game this week that obviously has been switched off your station or your network. Is it Seattle and Tampa, especially with what Tampa did to Green Bay last week, or is it still kind of a three-headed monster atop the NFC in your mind between Green Bay, Seattle, and Tampa?
I think it's still three-headed monster. I'm interested to see what type of Green Bay team comes out each week, because I just think Tampa Bay's defense is really good, guys. Like, they're really good. And we've been saying that since I watched them in week one. Even in the loss to New Orleans, I'm like, there's something about this defense. Their linebackers are incredibly talented. They fly to the ball. Their secondary's probably been the portion of their defense that's been the most criticized, but they're also the youngest group. And they've steadily improved. Carlton Davis is a young corner, another SEC guy, I think, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a few weeks. But Carlton Davis is another guy that I hear other cornerbacks, other defensive players, other wide receivers start talking about as man, you got to watch this guy. He is a ball hawk. He tackles in space. So the defense of Tampa Bay, I think, does a good job, and I think that's why Green Bay looked as kind of disheveled offensively as they did after that first possession. So their defense has been what's carried them, and Brady has been rangy, let's call it that way. He's been anywhere from not great to really good so far. I haven't seen the Tom Brady game, maybe that 5-touchdown game against the Chargers probably. So I'll say from kind of, you know, not great to excellent, I think is probably the range, but it's been a little inconsistent. The defense has been the thing for Tampa Bay that set them apart, and I think that's what would make Tampa Bay-Seattle a really fun matchup, because their defense against this wide-open passing game would probably be one of the most fun matchups in the NFL this year if they ever got a chance.
Adam, I enjoyed the conversation, and I would have enjoyed watching you on the broadcast on Sunday. Instead, we'll check you out watching Tampa and Vegas, and hopefully you'll get a Seahawk game down the road, and hopefully we can do that again and really kind of deep dive into it, man. I really appreciate it. Congrats on the new gig. Well-deserved, and look forward to watching you on Fox this weekend, my friend. Thank you.
Kind words, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate all you guys.
There you go. That is Adam Amin joining us here on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. All right, let's get right to it. It's the weekend eve. Actually, it is the weekend because we got Thursday night football. I'm sure there's college out there as well on this Thursday. Us out here in Pac-12 country, we're still waiting for that to get going. We're 2 weeks away. But when we get to this point in the week, it means it's time to talk to our handicapper, our man John Price, joining us, sportsinformationtraders.com. John, how are you this week?
Well, I'm feeling the buzz of last weekend. You know, we came on last week. We talked about a game where I said that without a doubt the wrong team is favored. And we were all over Wake Forest last week. When we came on the radio last week, Wake Forest was a 2.5-point underdog to Virginia. And by the time kickoff occurred on Saturday, Wake Forest was a 3-point favorite over Virginia. And part of the reason for that is that when we evaluated the lines 2 weeks ago, we knew that Virginia's quarterback Brennan Armstrong was not going to play. He was already in concussion protocol. We were told that there was no way he would be cleared for that game. Their backup, Lindell Stone, is a mistake-prone guy who lost out on the starting job because of his mistakes in camp. This game was at Wake Forest, and that line made no sense. We had Wake Forest in our line -3 over Virginia. So when we saw Virginia as a 3-point favorite, that's when I knew that Vegas made a mistake. And of course, Virginia lost that game. Wake Forest went on to win big, 40-23. It was the biggest collective wager day in our company in 4 years. So we're excited about that. We're excited about this weekend. We've got 5 plays that I'm looking at right now that I feel certain about, and we're offering those 5 plays to new clients only. If you've not joined us yet, or if you're still waiting to do this, give us a call at 866-441-2711, or you can purchase those 5 plays right at our website, sportsinformationtraders.com. And as I always do, I issue guarantees because I know we're going to win. I will guarantee we go 4-1 in these 5 games, or you will get free football service with us through Thanksgiving. So go to our website, sportsinformationtraders.com, buy our 5 plays. It's not a parlay. Buy those 5 plays. You'll see it right there. You can click on it and win with us this weekend with a guarantee we go 4-1 or better, or you're with us through Thanksgiving for free.
John Price joining us again, sportsinformationtraders.com, 866-441-2711. And again, that 5 play week for him, you can give him a call. Again, 866-441-2711. John, I'm going to go back to the Vegas mistake before we talk about our games this week for just a second, because you and I have been talking now for, what, about 8 weeks into this season and talking about college and pro games and all that. And I know last week that Vegas mistake was one people could have called in and got, and as you mentioned, it was a huge play for you. We've discussed kind of in general terms, and now I'll ask you kind of again, how many mistakes would Vegas be making this year that you're able to spot as someone who's in the business, that your company is able to spot? How often is Vegas making mistakes maybe compared to years past?
Well, I feel like Vegas makes mistakes every time that my company wins a play, but Vegas made a very big mistake last week. It's been 4 years since I saw that type of discrepancy. When I see a team that clearly should be favored, they're at home, going against an opponent whose quarterback is going to be out, there's no way that road team should be a three-point favorite. And you can look at it all day long. There's no way that should have happened. And predictably, the morning of the game, when they announced that the quarterback was officially out, all the money started coming in on Wake Forest, which suddenly made them a three-point favorite. So these are the types of things that we're always looking for. And I want people to know that on Sundays, when you're watching NFL, we're already looking at next week's Saturday plays. So the games that I've got as part of our five-game package right now, I've been looking at a few of these games since Sunday when you were watching the NFL last week. Trust me when I tell you, we are on five of the strongest games we've had. That's why we put them together in one very big weekend, and those five games are available to you if you are a new client. If you've already joined us, if you've already been part of the Vegas mistake, if you've already been part of the different things that we've done, you're not qualified for it because you've already made money. You've already seen how it works.
Yep.
But right now you have an opportunity to go to our website, sportsinformationtraders.com, buy the five-game package with a guarantee we will go 4-1 or better. If we do not, you will get free football service with us through Thanksgiving, and you'll see one price on the website. This is not a qualifying situation. So if you're a $1,000 player, nobody's going to ask you before you purchase. Go there, purchase the plays at sportsinformationtraders.com.
All right, John Price joining us. So let's get to this week's game. Seahawks road favorites, 3.5-point picks in Arizona. And I think they're calling it State Farm Arena now, or whatever the hell they're calling it. It changes every year. What kind of value do you see in the Seahawks game this weekend as those 3.5-point road favorites?
Well, the line opened at 2.5 for Seattle. Now it's 3.5, so the edge in public money is on the Seahawks. They're well-rested. They come into this game as the top team in the NFL in giveaway-takeaway ratio. They've been very aggressive. We know what Russell Wilson has done, but their defense, their ability to capitalize on mistakes has been incredible for them so far this year, and they're going against an Arizona team with a quarterback in Kyler Murray who is a risk-taker. He does it running. He does it throwing. He's a dynamic talent. Arizona's got a lot of confidence right now. Their defense has only given up 10 points a game in their last two games. I look for him to take some big shots down the field against that Seattle secondary. In terms of wagering, I feel like this is going to be a very close game, but one thing we've seen, Seattle is 4-1 against the spread in their last five games. Russell Wilson has the ability not only to win football games late, but to take a close game and give Seattle bettors the cover. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen this weekend. I'm going to take the Seahawks -3.5 over the Cardinals.
All right. Well, you just made a lot of people up here happy, and hopefully you can make some people some money again. SportsInformationTraders.com, 866-441-2711. Second game this week, also in the NFC. We've talked about the Falcons a couple times this season. They finally got a win, and they're actually a favorite this week, right?
They are. The line opened at 1.5. Now it's 2, so a little money coming in on Atlanta. They're coming off their first win, which is good, but they need more from the running game. When you get Todd Gurley on your roster, 20 carries for only 47 yards isn't going to get it done. It worked last week. They've got to get better in that area. For Detroit, we know Matt Stafford is there. I feel like he's in his 30th year in Detroit. The offense has been great. They've won 2 of 3. Their running game is getting better. I think in terms of wagering, both of these offenses are going to put up a lot of points. The total is about 55 right now, and I think they'll go over that. So I'll take the over 55 points in the Falcons-Lions game. And folks, before you get to all that, I need you to get locked in with me right now. If you're brand new and you've not been with our company and you're looking for an opportunity to see more of what we've done, you're going to read about the Vegas mistake because I've already been contacted by a couple of magazines and our clients have already felt that big win. It was our biggest win in 4 years as a company. If you want to be part of what we're doing and win with us, this is the perfect week to do it following the Vegas mistake. I'm looking at 5 football games right now that I feel certain about. Go to our website, sportsinformationtraders.com. Purchase the 5-game package. You must be a brand new client. Purchase the 5-game package for what you see. Click the button. If we don't go 4-1 or better, it's a guarantee I will give you free football service through Thanksgiving. You can also call us at 866-441-2711. Please, you're going to hear me every week. You're going to hear about the wins on the radio and off. Get involved. Win with us. it's a lot more fun.
I like the term Vegas mistake. It feels like when I go to Vegas, I'm the one that makes mistakes. So you can rectify that by calling John, 866-441-2711. Sportsinformationtraders.com. That's the website again, sportsinformationtraders.com. John, have a great week. We'll check in with you in 7 days, my friend. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
There you go. That is John Price joining us here. We'll take a break. We'll put a bow on the AB Seahawks talk. We'll try to do that coming up next.
Now back to Ian Furness on your home for the 12th man in the NFL, Seattle's original diehard sports station, Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All right, let's get to it. Poll time, questions, polls.
Oh, Antonio
Brown, boy. Antonio Brown. We'll wrap it up with this. By the way, fantasy football coming up top of the hour. 49451 is the Coors Light text line, 49451. So if you got a question for Funston, 49451, top of the hour. Get those texts in right now. Kevin starts at the very bottom.
By the way, Ian, a record number of early texts.
Yeah.
We have 10 that came within the first 30 seconds of the 1 o'clock hour, including, by the way, 4 1 second after 1 o'clock.
I love that. People know the rules now. Kevin will not read a text if it comes in prior to 1 p.m., but after 1 p.m., you're all good to go. So, 49451, I'll get the latest ones to come in. He'll get the earliest ones to come in.
Yep.
And phone calls as well coming up here at the top of the hour with Funston. Antonio Brown. We did two. I think Softy did one, too, but I'll let him deal with his poll later. Just quickly, yesterday at 1:05 p.m., I put this up.
Yes.
I kept it up for just about 24 hours, and it was the most simplistic question I could ask. Given his past, would Seahawks fans want the team to sign Antonio Brown? Simple yes or no. Yes, 32.2%. No, 67.8%. And looking through the comments, Kevin, they were all over the place. Trisha Romano, do not need or want. We got DK, Lockett, Moore, Olsen, Disley, all plenty. Bring me Flash, i.e. Flash Gordon. JJ from Ren. AB, wait, what?
I don't quite understand that text, but that's fine.
I think that do not need or want.
Because of all the good players you have?
I'm trying to read into a tweet. So I think when she says want, I think want is I don't want that guy.
Right. It's just funny that it's...
But she wants Flash.
Yeah, that's fine. Keep going.
JJ from Renton. AB may be a bad apple, but the atmosphere that Coach Carroll brings, I think he can keep AB in check. I'm going to come back to that one. Let's see. To win games, yes. The rest, I don't care about. That's from RNT425. Murph says it's crazy. The results of these polls depends on who does them. I saw another poll posted by someone else that had almost the exact opposite results. That was Softy, right? I think Softy's had different results or not.
No.
Okay.
They were the same. That's the thing. Generally, Seahawks fans do not seem to be all that interested in Antonio Brown.
The real S dog. Nope, nope, and nope. Dude's a diva headache and will just be a distraction. And I went down. I didn't look at every single one. I didn't find anything about what I find the most until I got to this. I'm sorry, Zachary Hawley, and he sent this out. Would rather miss the playoffs and have a rapist on our team. So. Let me just go back to the second one I read, JJ from Renton. AB may be a bad apple, but the atmosphere that Coach Carroll brings, I think, can keep AB in check. Jake Gruden's a different guy. I know someone who played for him, and I would not characterize him as a player's coach. I would say he's the opposite. There are a lot of guys just don't like him.
John Gruden,
I'm sorry. JSAJ. John Gruden. I would not put him in the player's coach category in any way, shape, or form. In fact, just hearing some stories from his time in Tampa from an ex-player who played with him down there, Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick, right? But Mike Tomlin, to me, would be in some ways the closest thing to a Pete Carroll in terms of relationship with players. I think because of who and what he is and what he's been through as a black head coach in the NFL, very outspoken. You burnt bridges there. That is an organization, Kevin, that is as first class, well run, solid ownership. They've got a lot going for them.
Yeah.
He couldn't make it work there. And at the end of the day, the criminal element and what it's not one time. It's been over a dozen accusations of something involving sexual assault with a female. Some of those dozen were with the same person. But you get my point. Then you put the football element into it, and he's had his issues as well. So, I don't know. To me, unless it was just a glaring need, I would hope they wouldn't do it. But I know why they would, because it still wins over principles, as somebody said in here. And that's what the name of the game is in the NFL. My preference would be no, but that's just me. You had a different poll.
Well, I was curious to take it kind of another step further. I just asked, are you bothered by the fact that they're exploring the possibility of signing him? Because I think that takes out the not wanting him for football reasons. Because I think there's an argument to be made that you don't have enough balls to go around. He might not be happy here football-wise.
Right.
So I'm more interested in are people bothered by the fact that they're even talking to him?
Right.
And these were not how I expected. I expected that it would be largely yes, because most people were bothered by the accusations and his past.
Right.
But 65%, 64.6% of the people said no, they're not bothered by them going down that road.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to me. I think my message from this is that Seahawks fans are so confident in what they're doing on offense right now that they don't need to bring in help that also has the baggage.
Circus, man. It's a circus if this guy comes here. An absolute circus. They need help on the other side of the football desperately. And one of those guys got traded from Minnesota to Baltimore apparently today. In Gakwe. All right. It is time for fantasy football. Brandon Funston from The Athletic. 206-286-9595. 206-286-9595 or 800-829-0950. Your phone calls will get answered and your questions on the phone will get answered. 206-286-9595, 800-829-0950. Funston next.